Now that I've got a guest with me in the studio, could you just maybe pull that a little bit closer to you? Anne, there we go. Anne Beamish, I don't actually know what your title is. Anne, can you enlighten me?
I tend to call myself the editor.
Oh, right.
But also founder of Independent Cambridge.
And that's it. You're coming from Independent Cambridge, which I've heard of before because we kind of talk about it a little bit here at the station.
Good.
But I suspect maybe lots of people haven't heard too much about it, or maybe I'm doing you a disservice. I apologise if I am. So can we start off by just telling us a little bit about what is Independent Cambridge?
Well, Independent Cambridge, it's sort of a movement, I suppose, in a way. It's about showcasing the independent traders and also artists and anybody who's doing anything on a sort of very local level in Cambridge. It's about promoting them, really, and we do that by publishing a book. We have a website which has a directory which has lots of different things in it, from antiques through to picture framers through to, you know, accountants. They're all independents. And it's just about getting people to maybe think about supporting those companies, individuals locally, rather than necessarily just going straight for the chains.
I mean, I think, you know, as somebody who knows Cambridge very well, I'd like to think anyway, there are masses and masses of independent businesses here. But I guess, you know, if you're a tourist or a visitor to the city and you walk down into Sydney Street or somewhere like that, or the what I used to call the Lion Yard as it was and so forth, you come across all the regular shops that you'd find everywhere else in Cambridge. So is the independent part of businesses in Cambridge more tucked away in places that people wouldn't visit?
I guess if you could say that generally, yes. If you look at places like the Grand Arcade, Petticoori, Grafton Centre, all the sort of main shopping areas, you won't generally find independents there. The rents are too high. In some places, in some new developments, like CB1, there have actually been, you know, they don't actually want to take independents in those sorts of places because they consider it a risk. So you tend to find the independents in smaller shops, in sort of cities, in streets slightly away from those main shopping areas.
I mean, where we are, just in Gwydir Street, just around the corner, of course, Mill Road.
Oh, Mill Road is a fantastic...
And it's the mega.
Yes.
Well,
Mill Road was probably my inspiration in a way because I used to be part of the Mill Road Winter Fair Committee. And my background was publishing. And when I got to be part of the committee for the fair, I got to know a lot of the independent traders. And so you get to know them as people. You get to know how fragile the whole independent sector is in a way. I mean, it's, you know, Cambridge is good for them. But I think people don't realise, you know, they may look like a successful business, but they're operating on very small margins usually. Anything to do with the rent increase or something that happens could tip them out of, you know, actually being making a profit. So I think that sort of encouraged me, and I always wanted to do something that kind of included Mill Road next to something like Magdalen Street. So you kind of brought the whole city together, because it's not big, really. It's quite a small place.
But it is, you know, somewhere like Mill Road, unless you're somebody who knows Cambridge fairly well, you wouldn't necessarily come to this part of town to try and find shopping areas, really. Most people, as I say, who perhaps don't know the city that well, would just stay either at the Grafton or the Grand Arcade, I guess, wouldn't they?
Yes, and I think as well, if you look at when you go into the city centre on a Saturday, you know, particularly during the summer, it's crazy. You think this is like so busy, but actually if you look at the people there, they're groups of tourists. They probably only go to certain areas. There are some independents who benefit from the tourist footfall in King's Parade, potentially Bennett Street, places like that.
And that little area opposite the Corn Exchange, there's a few places there, isn't there, really?
Yeah, Aromi, Pint Shop, you know, so they're in the areas, but you don't see many groups of tourists in, for example, King Street or, like you say, along Mill Road. But I think, in a way, if you're a resident of Cambridge, then you should take advantage of that fact.
Now, one of the things that struck me when I went onto your website and looked at the range of different types of businesses is that there is a massive range, really. I mean, going from, I don't know, hotels to boutique hotels to restaurants and so on. Is that one of the issues that small businesses have, that there's such a plethora of different businesses that trying to get their message across, get their people's awareness raised that they exist, is that an issue?
I think, you know, partly in a way, that's why we produced the book, because I think small and medium-sized companies, not just in Cambridge but throughout the UK, sort of struggle to have a voice, really. And if you think about that, what they contribute financially, they contribute way more than any of these big boys that we hear about. And so, I think because they are small and they're doing their own thing, to put them together as we've done in the book, hopefully gives them a bigger voice as a sort of as a group.
So do you see yourselves more or less as their marketing arm, if you like?
Yeah, we have sort of tried to do that. We also like to see it that actually the independent scene on the high street in Cambridge, if you see it as a big department store, a bit like John Lewis, because if you think about all the different things that the independents offer, from musical instruments at Miller's through to shoes, through to everything, and if you can visualize that as a department store but it's just all over the city, so it is trying to kind of to give that overall message.
I think also, I mean, I don't live in Cambridge. I live in Saffron Walden, which is very similar in many ways, that it has lots and lots of independent shops there too. And I think that gives a great appeal to a city to have, because everybody can go to every city around the country and find the Nexts and the Boots and the Marks and Sparks and all the rest of it. But to go somewhere that has a unique identity that is given really by lots of those independent traders is something that I think appeals to people, really.
I think it does. And I think, somewhere like Cambridge or Saffron Walden, beautiful cities and towns that people from all over the world will come to visit. And we do it. We go on holiday, you go to some cute little village in Italy or something, and you find a little shop or a restaurant, and you come home and you tell all your friends about it.
Because it's authentic, isn't
it? Yes, yeah. And why not do that about the place where you live? Because we've got it right on our doorstep. And I think it's just that thing of just thinking about it, making a bit more effort to go out and about and explore.
Mm. What kind of things do you do then for the businesses? You've mentioned the book several times now. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, we've published, we published a book called Independent Cambridge, which we published the third edition last November. And basically what that does is it's got maps in it. It's got the city sort of divided into areas so that people can use it to explore Mill Road, or they can explore around the Market Square or something like that. And it's just pure, it's always independence. It's never, we'd never have, Costa Coffee,
right,
sponsored by McDonald's or something like that, because it's all about the independence.
And is there some sort of way that you could navigate through the book? So, for example, if you were looking for a nice Italian restaurant or something, is there a way you can find that?
Yes, it's got an index at the back, which is split down by type. So if you're looking for boutiques, or if you're looking for picture framers or wine shops or something like that, it will give an index like that. So it's broken down geographically and by type.
Any sort of reviews as well or not? The kind of thing that you get with TripAdvisor, do you get anything like that?
We don't tend to do that. I think that's a bit of a double-edged sword. It can be quite, well, for some of the businesses, I think it can be quite difficult.
So I always think with, if I can pick on TripAdvisor as an example there, I think that's a very difficult thing, unless you get a number of opinions and then draw a line through the middle of them.
Exactly.
It's very difficult to say which accords with what you think, because you might find somebody says it's dreadful, you go and you think, well, it's actually fine,
Yes, and there is that thing that, do people tend to be more vocal about complaining than they do about celebrating.
Absolutely.
So that might skew those.
And I think that's true. Yeah. I'm sure that's true, that people on the whole who've had a good experience perhaps aren't as vocal as those who've had a bad experience.
Yes. Right? I think our thing is to give as much information about the shop or the cafe or whatever it is, and then hope that the way we've written it encourages people to go and find out for themselves, really.
Now, you've got an interesting announcement that you said that you were holding back to let us know about. So
yes.
Tell us all about that then.
Well, yesterday, hot off the press, came a new supplement type newspaper, which is a monthly, called Real Cambridge. which we are publishing in association with Cambridge News.
Oh, right.
And it's been a fantastic thing for us because we're small. We're just there's two of us basically doing independent Cambridge with help from a few others. But obviously with the backing and support of the Cambridge News, we've managed to produce this newspaper, which will have a massive free distribution.
So is that going to be in with Cambridge News or distributed by their same distribution network?
It's distributed by their same network.
Right.
We're currently going around to see all the independents that we know and taking them copies because just to introduce it to them for this first issue. And I just think it is a sort of step change in us being able to tell so many more people about the independents.
You get a lot more reach, really,
exactly.
I guess, wouldn't you?
Exactly.
So, in what kind of things is it similar to the book that you publish as well, in terms of listing of organisations? Or
it's got a similar feel to it. What we tend to do is that there's certain articles in each month there'll be something called Meet Your Maker, which actually takes the focus off the high street, because obviously, you know, in Cambridge particularly there's loads of artists and makers doing fantastic work, and so we're every month there'll be a feature on a different artist maker. We have a bit of a news roundup about what's coming up that month on the sort of independent scene, whether there's, you know, what events are coming up. And we also, I think the thing about the independents is it's the people that run them. You know, you can really focus on them, and a lot of them are Cambridge people. We ask them questions about what they like, about what their favourite place is in Cambridge. So you might have an independent restaurant owner saying, I really like going to this restaurant. And, you know, so it's just about, well, the real city.
I guess the thing is that whereas the handbook that you publish is a static thing that you, I don't know, how often do you publish it? Once a year?
Well, it's at the moment it's once every 2 years because it takes so much work.
So it's very static. Where this
exactly.
Because how often will the magazine, the
it's
newspaper?
Monthly.
Okay,
yeah.
So there we go. There's lots more opportunity for you to then put in stuff that's more fresh, more recent, more happening, and so on. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, obviously we have a Twitter account and Facebook page, so we can kind of keep things fresh like that. But I think nowadays you have to look at different types of communication channels. You can't just assume that everybody's on Twitter. You can't just assume that everybody's doing Facebook. It's a real mix. So yes, hopefully it'll be it just fits perfectly, and it's just great.
So did you say yesterday was the first edition?
Yes.
It came out yesterday.
Yes.
So will people in Cambridge have received it, do you think?
Well, hopefully, where it's going, there's going to be pickup points at the park and ride sites.
Right.
So that's nice. So people coming into Cambridge can sort of read about what's happening. There's a distribution out to a lot of the businesses, the Science Park, AstraZeneca's, or that sort of thing. That will hopefully reach people who are new.
But it's not being delivered to individual residences?
No,
okay,
no.
I see.
And then the other place that people can pick them up is in all the independent shops.
Right.
So if you go to the Urban Larder, for example, they've got copies there. You can pick it up.
Right, great. And free, presumably.
Free,
oh,
yes.
Great stuff. Well, Anne, thanks so much for coming in. I hope it's a great success.
I'll be
grabbing hold of a copy to have a look and see what's in there. And as I say, thanks very much for coming in. Lots more information. If you want to go and find out more about Independent Cambridge and indeed get that book, how can people do that?
If they just Google Independent Cambridge, that will bring up our website, and people can, or they can buy the book in Heffers and Waterstones or through the site.
Brilliant. Excellent. Thanks ever so much for coming in. There we go.
Thank you.
So that's Anne Beamish from Independent Cambridge. As she said, you can just Google Independent Cambridge and get all the information from there.